Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also PWTorch.com, the website, MMATorch.com, another website covering the world of Ultimate Fighting, UFC, and all of MMA. And also the free apps associated with those brands. Just search PW Torch and MMA Torch in the iPhone App Store and the Android Google Play Store. Download and follow all of our content on your phone, or just visit MMATorch.com and PWTorch.com on your laptop, desktop, tablet, or smartphone. The page will customize for whatever screen size you are using, with daily coverage of all the happenings, along with exclusive live event coverage, editorials, special features, and more. We also have the PW Torch Livecast, available 5 days a week here at PWTorchLivecast.com. That's where you can find us live and stream the show, or listen on demand, or subscribe to our show. You can also just subscribe in iTunes or many popular podcast apps on smart devices, and subscribe and listen to our shows on delay on demand if you can't join us live. But we certainly are happy that we have our live audience joining us today and our live callers. If you want to get in line on the phone banks, the number is 646-7. I almost forgot the number there. 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. If I give those numbers out a second time in about 8 seconds, as if I hadn't said them previously, I think I need the same test that, I don't know how to quite phrase this, that Vince McMahon needed last night when he introduced Kevin Owens twice as Roman Reigns' opponent, as if each time was the first time. We'll be talking about Monday Night Raw. We can talk about last week's debut of TNA Impact, which actually happened shortly after we went off the air last week, and more. And I'll be joined momentarily, as always on Tuesdays, by Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. I do want to make a note that if you missed it yesterday, last night after Raw, James Caldwell hosted the Raw post-game show and took your live phone calls, which is always cool. Right after Raw, you can vent or otherwise praise the show and speculate about the future and react to what was on Raw. The show starts at the bottom of the hour after Raw, so roughly about 20 minutes after Raw ends. And James was joined by Greg Parks last night in 80-plus minute show, about an hour and a half show, actually, taking your phone calls, reacting to Raw. Tomorrow, Pat McNeil, and then I'm back on Thursday with Interview Thursday, and then Friday, it's Torch, senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, and Travis Bryant of the East Coast Cast. If you missed last Thursday's Interview Thursday, we did it, and I did an hour and a half show in three parts. First half hour, Taz joined me, former SmackDown commentator, providing some fascinating insight on Mauro Ranallo and what he was in for, and some fun anecdotes about his days announcing SmackDown, plus his thoughts on the John Cena injury, the shoulder injury, which Jason and I will, of course, get into also today, and how it was handled on Raw yesterday. And then in the second half hour, TNA president Dixie Carter joined me, just as she did last year, the same week that TNA debuted on Destination America. A year later, she joined me to talk about their debut on Pop TV two nights earlier. She was on for a half hour and talked about the future of TNA and spoke optimistically and excitedly about the changes that they're making, and talking about some of the mistakes that were made in the past and some of the overspending on things and why she's very happy with where she is now. And you can check that out still. And then the final half hour, I took calls. It was just me hosting and your phone calls, reacting to one of the biggest news weeks we've had in a long time. So if you missed that, check it out. That was last Thursday's Interview Thursday format. And finally, it is time to introduce Jason Powell. I shouldn't say finally, but next, it's time to introduce Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Jason, welcome to the program. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to be here, Wade.
The episode of Raw last night getting mixed reviews. I was kind of in the middle, a little bit thumbs up, and then I'd think about it some more and be a little thumbs down. It depends on how you react to the negative on the show and how much weight you give to it, because I thought there was some good on the show that was really encouraging, but boy, that main event was just a debacle. I guess I'll throw to you your overall thoughts on Raw, and what the heck was... I don't even know what to say. I'm kind of speechless about how that main event turned out. They advertised one versus all for 3 hours, And then we get, like, this long... I'm overstating it by saying rest-hold-filled match, because it was a pretty good match at times, but it just kind of dragged out, made no sense why it's one versus all, and they just let Roman and Kevin Owens fight basically the whole match. Just kind of weird. Everything was weird about it. From the beginning, introductions from Vince on to the ending. Your thoughts, Jason?
I guess the idea was that if Reigns had beaten Owens, someone else would have stepped in. I don't know why they just didn't sacrifice the Ascension or somebody right away, where Reigns plows through them, and then at least he's faced more than one person, and then you can go along with Owens. Something? But I mean, the whole concept is so strange. I mean, just stop and think, Wade, if they want the title off Reigns, why don't they book a one-versus-all match for the championship where he keeps having to defend the title until he's finally beaten? Anything involving the McMahons right now, you really have to just turn your brain off.
You really do if you're presenting a wrestling product and it can't withstand just that basic level of criticism of, well, if you want something and you have the power to make it happen, but you're only willing to go this far but not take this extra step, even though you're ruthless and determined, the whole thing blows up. And I'm going to limit it to two or three sentences. It's why having omnipotent heel authority figures does not work. It's a stupid, untenable, past its prime, disqualifying of any logic, part of a pro wrestling narrative. And it is time to end it. It is time to let the wrestlers be heels and baby faces and have a nice, responsible authority figure try to create an even playing field and make good decisions now and then and get back to the show being about the people who actually wrestle. Jason, that said, Stephanie and Vince paired together is interesting to talk about. I think it's interesting because we haven't seen in a long time, really, Stephanie and Vince as just a twosome out there on the air. And the dynamic between them feels different now. Just putting it diplomatically, Stephanie seems kind of like the alpha. The body language with Stephanie, she's often looking at Vince. She admires her father, but she also seems like his caretaker a little bit in carrying the segments and leading the segments. And it's just interesting to watch. And I think there's some semblance of a transition going on overall in general behind the scenes with them in that type of thing. And so just having covered this business as a job for 28 plus years and following basically all, well, not basically, I followed all of Vince McMahon's years in control of WWE, even when it started a couple years before starting the Torch. Watching McMahon now after not being a weekly fixture on TV, it's a different guy, and in some ways he's playing the same guy, but in other ways he can't play the same guy anymore, and it comes across differently. But I do think it's smart, if you're going to have Vince on TV, to have Stephanie with him. Your thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he gets lost, he repeats names, you know, it's good. And not that he does it often, I mean, he's still a good performer.
Right.
I thought last week was his best performance in years, for instance. But it's still good to have that security blanket there with him. The opening segment just went on longer than it needed to, though. I'm never a fan of having all the wrestlers out there while they talk. And this one, there was a little bit more of an excuse because supposedly they're all in the Rumble match, even though Brock Lesnar is the only person who was added to the Rumble match officially last night. But they're talking to them like they all have a chance to beat Roman Reigns and all of that. But still, you get Roman Reigns out there and he says one line. And I'm all for protecting the guy to a point. Are we at the point, Wade, where it's just now, I mean, when he gets one question and that's it, where they're going too far and it's almost counterproductive?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that Roman Reigns continues, I'm going to talk broadly, but it plays into the specifics of the opening segment too. Roman Reigns still, and actually, as I'm talking about this, I'm thinking about his WWE.com exclusive that they aired on SmackDown last week too. There's still a lack of authenticity. There's still a lack of this guy is thinking on his feet and reacting to the moment. Even the reaction to being put in the all versus one match, and it's just everything feels cliched. I don't think the writers are serving him well. I'm still not impressed by him. I didn't like his facial reaction after Brock took him down at the end. I don't like the little, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger attempt to make him Arnold Schwarzenegger with a one-off lines. I still don't feel that, even with playing off of Vince and Stephanie, that he's a natural babyface. And I don't, or if he's a natural babyface, he's not a top babyface. But I don't think at this point he's a natural babyface. And I'm just not watching saying, oh, this guy's the worst main eventer I've ever seen. But I'm watching and I'm seeing someone struggling to figure out why things aren't clicking. Kalisto got a bigger pop last night, Jason, than I think any pop I can remember Roman Reigns getting. Because the story was told well, and he's a natural babyface. He's a sympathetic underdog who took a beating but was scrappy and outwitted the heel. And I love that kind of storytelling in wrestling, and I thought Del Rio and Kalisto played that part well. That I enjoy that approach to wrestling storytelling a lot more than the propped up corporate babyface with the heel authority figures trying to get him over with a nonsense, illogical storyline. Where they're willing to go this far, but not that far, to destroy him.
I think we're at that point where it's like, find out what you have. If they've decided like it's WrestleMania and Reigns and whoever, and then we'll see. Okay, prop him up while you can. But I just think in general, like, he's not even getting a chance right now to go out there and shine. They're doing so much talking while he just stands there.
I know.
That, you know, it 1 week, okay, 2 weeks, all right, you're pushing it. And now it just keeps happening. It's like, how is he going to get better?
That's a really good point. I mean, I don't know at what point he gets better at being what I think he needs to be, but I'm not confident that he actually can become that. That's also what's strange.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway, Raw ratings are in. Let's touch on this. Jason, last week they did a disappointing 2.49 rating. The week before, 2.47. The week before that, a 2.33. You go back to December 14th for a 2.66 rating a couple weeks before Christmas. A year ago, they did a 2.71 rating. Did you see viewership numbers so far?
I did, yes.
Yeah, so the way that translates into a rating is a 2.36. So that is almost in line with the December 21st 2.33 rating, not quite at the depths of that 3-4-5-week stretch of 2.23, 2.28, 2.16, 2.21, 2.15, but... And they were up against a college championship game. So
that's the key.
Yeah, no, it is a key. But they're back down up against football with Brock Lesnar advertised in an all-versus-one match. I think that's probably the floor where they're going to be during this WrestleMania season. I think that they should be very disappointed if they get below this number. Is this good that they were able to land at 2.36 compared to last week, 2.49, up against really no football competition?
Well, I think the key to remember is that I give them the out that obviously a huge competition. They had, 26 million, just under 26 million viewers watching the college football game last night. Still down from last year's 33 million, which was record-breaking for all of cable television. And last year, Raw, up against that, did a 2.71. And this year they're down to a 2.36.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's still, obviously, it's consistent, though, with what we're seeing, Wade. You know, just that, Raw numbers are down across the board. So I guess I wasn't surprised by the drop last night. I thought it could have been even more substantial. But every time we go back and compare it to last year or the year before, it tells you some, scary stories. But we've known this. I mean, they've really put themselves in a rough position, and they're going to have to dig themselves out of this hole.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree they are. All right, we're going to go to a break, hear from sponsors, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls and get your thoughts on Raw and anything else going on in wrestling. Mauro Ranallo, I thought, was tremendous on SmackDown last week. I liked a lot of some of the basics that I took for granted for decades as a wrestling fan kind of went away when Jim Ross went away. And some of those came back. I liked the overall SmackDown presentation. We'll talk about that. And also, perhaps, if you want, if you want, you can dictate this. We'll take calls on TNA Impact also and what you thought of their debut on Pop TV last week. All that and more, and of course, conversation on Raw coming up afterwards from our sponsors. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on Pro Wrestling Podcast by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. We have a new sponsor on today's program, starting with today's PW Torch livecast, and that is Loot Crate, which you can find at lootcrate.com. That is LOOTCRATE. It is an awesome monthly geek and gamer gear subscription service. You get a box of items, often exclusive, and it's a mystery crate for gamers, geeks, and fans of pop culture, delivering cool and often exclusive items like collectibles, t-shirts, gadgets, and more. There's a $45 value in every crate, and as a PW Torch Livecast listener, you can get $3 off your first order. Just go to lootcrate.com and enter promo code PWTorch. That's lootcrate.com and enter PWTorch as the coupon code. It's a cool website. You can get an example of what members and subscribers to the monthly mystery box have gotten in the past and get an idea of what comes in these things. It's a way to look forward to what shows up in your mailbox once a week. You get 4 to 8 items of over $48 of retail value at a discounted rate. You get to be the first to get access to specialty crates like Fallout 4 and Mass Effect. There's discounts on longer subscriptions and a bonus gift for a 12-month plan. So treat yourself to a geeky gift every month. Your crate will arrive between the 20th and 25th of each month. There is no commitment, and you are in control. Each month's theme features the best in pop culture, cool limited edition stuff like shirts, vinyl figures, and other collectibles. Get exclusive products from top gaming and entertainment franchises. Go check out the site, and if you choose to sign up, enter coupon code PWTorch. That's lootcrate.com. Coupon code PWTorch to claim your $3 coupon. All right, back to the program. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net is here with me as usual on Tuesdays, and we're talking Monday night Raw and TNA Impact and SmackDown. We're going to dive into the phone calls now, Jason, and begin with area code 305. 305, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ. Good to hear from you. What have you got for us today?
I got two quick questions. My first question is that now that we're going to the Royal Rumble, I just don't feel like they're going to throw Brock under the bus at WrestleMania, so they're going to have to maybe do something or have a DQ with Triple H or something, because what do you guys think? Do you think that they should be vacant for the belt, or do you think Roman Reigns should win the belt? And that's my first thing.
Jason, yeah, we haven't kind of talked about Raw and the execution of it, but not the ramifications of the stories that they told on last night's show, the advancement in things. And coming away from the show, what was your take on the role that Brock Lesnar plays and whether Roman Reigns walks out of the Rumble as champion or not? Did your odds and feelings on that change based on the show-closing angle during the overrun?
Well, number one, thank goodness Lesnar's in, because I don't know, other than Triple H, who another realistic candidate would be to win. So that adds somebody else to the mix, because it is Roman Reigns, the specter of Triple H hanging, looming over the match, and Brock Lesnar are your clear-cut favorites. They could shock us, but...
So you didn't buy Stephanie saying maybe Kevin Owens could cap off the greatest first year ever? You didn't buy her condescending pat on the head to Dolph Ziggler?
No, not so much. I didn't buy into that one. I'm not buying into Chris Jericho. At least you can stop and think for a second about those guys. But there's I think there's going to be a lot of filler in this thing. I think they could have done more with the Wyatt family, and they even turned that into making it about Roman Reigns. And so, I do think it's one of the three favorites. Even in Triple H, we won't even know if he's in the match probably until he enters, if he is. And so, I think they definitely increased my interest level in the match because Brock is in there. We get to watch him destroy people. That's always a good thing. And I think I still look at Reigns and Lesnar as the leading candidate for your WrestleMania 32 match. And I don't know who ends up with the championship going into that match. Lesnar is advertised for Fastlane. I certainly assume he'll be at WrestleMania. So if he wins the championship, either way, I mean, they can bring him right back at Fastlane and have him defend the title against somebody else if they want to. I'm not sure how they'll do it. My sleeper scenario, Wade, my fantasy booking, he's been medically cleared. Daniel Bryan eliminates Brock Lesnar from the Royal Rumble, and that's your match instead.
Yeah, or I like that, or tweak it. You have Roman Reigns and Lesnar. Well, I mean, there's different ways you can do it, but you have Roman Reigns and Lesnar near the end. But yeah, Daniel Bryan enters as a surprise return. The crowd just goes completely bonkers, and one way or the other, Daniel Bryan wins. And I'm not going to get into the micro-booking of how that happens, except my ideal scenario would be that's what leads to Roman Reigns completely flipping out and turning heel. Because I think I'd be on this show every week praising Roman Reigns as one of the great top heels come along in a long time if he turned heel. And I think a lot of the criticism of him would go away. I think he'd be great. I'd love to see that. Of course, we're talking fantasy booking because I think Vince McMahon's pretty set on not spending that 2 to 4 years of Roman as a heel and let him get better and then have him be his franchise babyface. And if Daniel Bryan were healthy and didn't have the concussion issues, I think maybe Vince would feel he had more wiggle room to do that. Or if John Cena were 3 years younger, I think Vince would feel he had some, or healthier, you know, he'd feel that he had some wiggle room to do that. So I'm not expecting Daniel Bryan to return and Roman Reigns to turn heel, especially Roman turning heel. Part of that too, Jason, is part of this discussion is Roman and Lesnar in the dynamic. If that is your WrestleMania main event, and I think they showed their hand, if people weren't thinking that going into Raw last night, they're thinking about that as the top possibility now. It's been in that top mix for a long time. I think I never settled on any lineup for sure because things can change. Roman can get over or the fans can turn against him more. That can change things. There can be one or two or three major injuries, which we've had, the most recent being Cena. But I'm still not sold on the idea of Roman as the indiscriminate ass kicker, love him or hate him, and Paul Heyman is the agitating truth teller. And then you have him facing a babyface Roman Reigns who has his just having an awful time trying to catch on with fans and get cheered. I don't know that that Roman needs a match against Brock Lesnar to get over. I don't think fans don't like Roman because he hasn't had good matches and competitive matches and paid some dues by taking beatings and making comebacks. That's not what Roman needs to get over. And I think Roman needs a heel that fans don't like to beat up and be opposite of on promos. And Lesnar doesn't provide that. Paul Heyman doesn't even provide that. So I'm not sure that this is actually good for a good situation for Roman Reigns. It might be, quote, the best marquee match, but I still am having trouble seeing where the booking takes them, where Reigns ends up benefiting from this and not just getting booed out of the stadium.
I'm with you, but I think your real alternative is Triple H and Roman Reigns. Because, I mean, what other heel is there right now, Wade, that you can see in a WrestleMania main event realistically, and that main event is flawed because you know that Hunter is not going to win, and even if he shocks everyone, he's dropping that title quickly. And if he wins at WrestleMania, it's just you don't expect Triple H to be around. He's not a full-time guy.
Well, Hunter hasn't been around a while, so I'm holding out hope that Roman Reigns, that Hunter enters the Rumble but ends up turning babyface and Roman turns heel, and then Hunter becomes the NXT-like figure, authority figure. He gets Stephanie and Vince ousted from power. Stephanie stays off TV for 3 years until there's another good storyline that can bring her back, trying to avenge her husband betraying her. I don't know. It's tough. Trying to get out of all the problems you presented is the real situation that we're standing in right now. But I didn't create that situation. But it is a situation. You know, they should have more strong heels so that you could say, well, there's other alternatives for Roman. Or Roman should have been presented better and have come along further where this really wouldn't be an issue. It would just be badass Roman Reigns who's over as the next franchise. And you got Brock Lesnar, another badass, indiscriminate he beats people up indiscriminately, and it's just a dream match between two guys that fans like, and they're just there for the spectacle. The problem is they're still in Project Roman Reigns, trying to get him over. It's unfortunate that if they do feel like they have no options, that this option is not going to help Roman Reigns. Let's go back to DJ, though, and get his second question or any follow-up. Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah, my second thing is that, do you guys think that Del Rio dropped the belt too soon? Do you think that Kalisto would have won better at the Rumble and then would have earned more pop and more of, you know, heat to him and more fire?
I like that storyline too much, DJ, to criticize the timing of it. I also think that you need Del Rio in the Rumble just to add some sort of a credible heel, I guess, to the mix. And also, they're trying to build up SmackDown ratings for USA Network. And Kalisto, I don't know if he's responsible for a good, solid, or as Michael Cole put it, record-setting, record-breaking rating for SmackDown last week. I'm not quite sure what record that was they set. That was a little bit weird. But Kalisto has won me over a lot in the last couple of weeks in terms of his performance. By the way, VIP members, we have an interview that Sean Radican did with Kalisto. It's a flashback interview, 58 minutes long, if you want to learn more about him and get to know about his background. The interview was from, you know what? I don't even know when the interview. In 2010. That's when he
debuted. You'll learn a hell of a lot more about him than WWE has told you.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. No, the interview's from 2012. His debut in DGUSA was 2010, but the interview's from 2012. So check it out. I think he gives WWE something that they've missed without Rey Mysterio, without Eddie Guerrero, that, you know, underdog Hispanic babyface that I know when I go to WWE house shows, there's a lot of kids, not just Hispanic kids, a lot of kids like the masked underdog, high-flying, sympathetic superhero character. I thought they told that story well last night. You're right, Jason. We don't know a lot about Kalisto, but we do know that Alberto Del Rio is a bully, and Kalisto put up a good fight. And I thought he was improved on the microphone. So I'm liking this, and I thought that the timing of it works. Getting to DJ's specific point, in that it's a good main event for SmackDown, and I hope it's the main event. I hope that they position it and define it as main event worthy, just as they did last week with the IC title match. Make SmackDown a place where if there's a U.S. title match, you headline with it, you build it up, you cut promo, you have promos or interviews with Renee Young, and you tell the story the way that wrestling shows used to tell good stories in that way. So I'm fine with the timing of it. Jason?
Timing-wise, I don't know if it was by design, or it may have had more to do with just making sure it was on at the top of the third hour. But this was halftime in the national championship game. I just happened to check the score online and notice there was like 10 seconds left as introductions were beginning for this match. And so you would think there's probably a lot of people flipping over at halftime that normally watch Raw to see what was going on. And so I don't know if it ended before the game started again or how many people stuck around, but that's good timing. Could you have built this to the Rumble? Yes. But I like the upset on Raw. I think, and I like what you're saying, Wade, that it leads into the rematch on SmackDown. I don't know that you would get people fired up about seeing Del Rio and Kalisto go at it again at the Royal Rumble had there not been a title change here. So I don't have an issue with it. I'm fine, and there's more people watching Raw than will be watching the Royal Rumble.
We can't read a lot into the hourly ratings because it was they didn't really hype it up as be here at the top of the third hour, and it was just one segment of the third hour, but the third hour did go up from the second hour, although not very much. The first hour was easily the top, the most viewed hour of the program. 3.5 million viewers first hour, 3.206 million second hour, 3.228 million in the third hour. So basically 22,000 more viewers in the third hour than the second hour. So I can't really read into that as good or bad. I just know I liked what I saw. You had somebody who you had reason to hate, who acted in a way that you can't imagine cheering him. And you had Kalisto as a hardworking underdog guy with a fighting spirit trying to overcome the odds. And I like that. I was waiting for a clip of 1-2-3 Kid and Razor Ramon later in the show as WWE recounted great upsets in their history. Maybe that'll be a SmackDown package, especially with the way that they talked during the show, Jason, about how this was the anniversary. What was it, 23rd anniversary of Raw going on the air?
That sounds right. Yeah, we always said that whole anniversary thing, I'm never quite sure anymore. I've been confused by WWE math, but yeah, I think that's what they said.
There's that. All right, let's go to our next call and go pick up area code 321. 321, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, yes, it's Neil calling from Orlando.
Hey, Neil, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
Yes, I wanted your opinion on one thing. Pretty much with the Royal Rumble essentially being a one-match show at this point, what do you think the odds are of a Balor/Bullet Club Nexus-style invasion happening at the Royal Rumble or Monday Night Raw the next night? And then I have one other question after that.
Sure thing. Jason, go ahead and take that first.
So getting when was it Balor Club invades when?
He's just wondering, with Royal Rumble being a one-match show, do you see a Balor Club invasion either at the Rumble or the next day on Raw, or see some other option?
I don't think it happens at the Rumble. I think it's too soon. I just seeing is believing. On that, there's just something that tells me it's too soon. That, you know, I wouldn't mind introducing the players a bit. AJ Styles doesn't have to be with that group. I mean, he was kind of the replacement leader for Finn Balor. I just don't know that we're getting Balor Club. Yes, they have merchandise and everything else, but they've had that. His logo has been on, you know, it's been on his video wall for the longest time too.
Yeah.
The arrival. If Gallows and Anderson do sign with WWE, okay, maybe. But I just don't know that I'd have AJ Styles being part of this faction, taking a backseat even to Finn Balor for any length of time. So maybe that's something you save until the day after WrestleMania, Wade.
I think they're going to... I shouldn't say, I don't have a strong leaning, but I think we see AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura before WrestleMania. I'm not sure about Finn Balor because he's so entrenched in NXT right now. I could see Balor Club being formed in NXT and being the storyline there that eventually, you know, with Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows and perhaps one or two others. I'm kind of with you. I think assuming AJ Styles would be part of it is not a safe assumption by any means. I think AJ, in fact, probably should be on his own. One, because I think AJ doesn't need to be in a faction, and it's better for him to get on the main roster quickly and kind of take that Daniel Bryan spot, I guess, or what Sami Zayn maybe would have had he not suffered that untimely injury. And then Balor gets to be Finn Balor gets to be the leader of his own group. Because if AJ's there, it's a two-headed monster. There's two leaders. One of them has to play a subservient role, and I don't think that works particularly well. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of people just kind of assuming, AJ and would be the leader or a co-leader because of Bullet Club. So, I don't want to rush Finn Balor and Balor Club or whatever to the top. Or to the main roster, I should say, if Vince McMahon doesn't have real time and space to give them a significant role on TV. And also, just with Styles, I was going to say, the name Balor Club implies Finn Balor's a leader. And I think that actually could undercut what AJ Styles can bring and the impact he can have. Speaking of dark horses, Jason, you know, we go back to saying, what about Daniel Bryan entering the Rumble and winning? You know, Reigns and Lesnar could have a match at Fastlane. The winner gets to challenge Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles at WrestleMania. I mean, if Vince is in a mode of screw it, let's just please the fans. You know, quote unquote, or I give up. I'm good.
When is he ever in that mode?
Well, yeah, but you know, the ratings and who knows what else. And or if they think the growth in the WWE network from all these surveys they did is going to come from those ardent but discriminating fans who will not support with their money. A Roman Reigns-led product only, you know, maybe, quote, throw them a bone and they rationalize how they do it. But if Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles wins the Rumble, wins a championship, and then Reigns against Lesnar turns out to be a match to earn a title shot and they face each other at Fastlane, then you're not going to have any drop-offs, probably as many drop-offs between the Rumble and Mania. And then people can fantasize, you know, oh, God, AJ against Lesnar or AJ against Reigns, both really interesting matchups. Same thing, obviously, with Daniel Bryan. I want to throw a few things out there so we don't just think it's inevitable that, well, Reigns or Roman wins a Rumble and then the loser of that match does something at Fastlane to earn the title shot at Mania, and it's just sort of predictable, and now we're just leaning on the undercard to make things more interesting. So we'll see, but I guess my point is I wouldn't rule out AJ in the Rumble, but I don't want him in it just getting tossed out and having a, quote, you know, Kofi Kingston-like good performance. What AJ does should define him as a big star.
We don't want AJ to have a Hideo Itami moment.
Well, not
the
that either.
Battle.
I assume that won't happen.
Yeah.
Maybe not safely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do think it's going to be pretty predictable. WWE booking generally is. But I can wrap my mind around they feel like Reigns and Lesnar is a fast lane, you know, a huge fast lane main event or even just a big WrestleMania main event. And they feel like they can get away with something else, that it's not the world title that is in the spotlight this year. Maybe it's Taker's last match. And so this is a year where they can surprise you at the Rumble, put the title on someone kind of unexpected, put that person against kind of an unexpected challenger even, and it's maybe third from the top or even fourth from the top in terms of the real pecking order of the show. I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah, long shot, it's a possibility.
Plus, you can have... Let's again play this out, and I don't want to... As a possible scenario, pros and cons, Daniel Bryan, if he's cleared, or AJ Styles, either of them, win the Rumble, either shoot AJ to the top. You're right, Jason. You don't have two faces on the marquee of WrestleMania. You have six. You know, there's three big singles matches that they promote. One of them is that. And then the winner of that Rumble, Styles or Daniel Bryan, takes on Lesnar because Triple H screws Roman Reigns at Fastlane, and then Roman Reigns takes on Triple H at WrestleMania. So you have Reigns and Triple H with a big stipulation. You have Lesnar taking on either Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles in a world title match. And then you have Undertaker against Braun Strowman or Kane or, you know, Kevin Owens or, you know, I mean, just a list of people we speculate are possibly on that list. But, you know, there's a lot of names not on that list now. John Cena, Randy Orton, Hex.
John Cena chops his arm off.
Well, that's a possibility.
Don't rule that out.
I'm probably ruling that out, Jason, not to okay. Not to fight you on this one. So anyway, well,
if he was a little younger.
Let me go back to Neil. I know you had a second question. You can follow up on that, and I'll ask your second question, either or both.
Sure. Thanks, guys. I agree with your commentary. I'm just so desperate for something different to happen. It's like something needs to be shaken up. I highly doubt it's going to happen either, but it just seems like time. Somebody or something needs to shake this up. But on a different note, completely different note, I decided to give TNA another shot, and I checked out their premiere. And I thought by far the best part of the show, I think I have his name right, was Mike Bennett coming out with Maria Kanellis.
Yep.
What is your guys' opinion of him? I never even knew who he was before seeing him on Impact. So wanted to see what your guys' opinion of him and what his potential you think is in TNA. And
sure,
thank you guys for taking my call. Have a good rest of the show.
Neil, thank you so much. Sean Radican and Brian Leahy talked about this on Radican's Wrestling Audio Community over the weekend. Also, they went in-depth on Mike Bennett, the role he played in ROH. I had talked to Todd Martin about this on The Fix with Todd Martin about why I think Mike Bennett might actually shine better in TNA with his skill set than he did in ROH. Sean and Brian, especially, I think they both were pretty equally a little critical of a little Armando Estrada type outfit that maybe went a little too gimmicky and too far. I thought we didn't really get to see Mike Bennett because of the hat and the sunglasses. So I think there's more to be revealed, I guess, about this gimmick. But in general, my praise, I think Sean said I liked everything about it, and that's not true. I had some criticism or, you know, some mitigating factors. But what I liked about it, Jason, is they went all in. They went all in with him. They treated it as a big acquisition. They touted it as, trust me, this is a major free agent signing. And that's what you got to tell your audience. Those who don't know who he is, like Neil, are going to go, all right, you're giving me a story to believe in. You have to live up to this hype, but I'm waiting. I'm willing to be prove to me this guy is as good as you're saying, as opposed to defining him down right away into a Tyler Breeze type role, and you try to build him up in 6 months when you need him. So I like that. But we have to see more of him. Clearly, they position him as a top heel. I think that it has freed them up to do another major situation on their roster, too, which will come out on TV, and I'm going to stay spoiler-free, and I hope our callers will at least preface major spoilers so people have a chance to hit the mute button or fast-forward 30 seconds or a minute. With so much of wrestling these days being pre-taped, Lucha Underground, I know Jason Will Pruitt, who's on your staff at ProWrestling.net, I was talking about, you know, please, no Lucha Underground spoilers. And I feel the same way now with TNA taping so far ahead, that we're going to be protective of that on the show as best that we can. Let me throw to you, Jason. Talk about Mike Bennett in ROH and what you thought of his debut, and tell Neil a little more about him and his upside.
You know, it's funny. They kind of went all in on Bennett when he debuted in Ring of Honor as the Prodigy character. At least they gave him this big build-up. he wasn't ready for it. You know, you can't blame him either. I think different time, if he was at a different point in his career, that may have worked. But the ROH fans kind of turned on him because it just wasn't clicking with them. He's a different guy now. You know, he's ready for this type of a role, I believe. He teamed with Matt Taven as the ROH Tag Team Champions until Final Battle. And they had a brief run together, but they were a good tag team. He obviously married to Maria legitimately. And I think that everything I know about Mike Bennett is that he's just that guy that really passionate about pro wrestling. You know, it's just, this is, he just lives there. You know, I think is going to do everything he can to make this gimmick work. I have some real questions about the gimmick, and I think it goes just beyond the whole, we'll see, what, you know, we need to let this play out. I did have an issue with what he was wearing, and some of it is that, I guess the Armando Estrada thing is a fair comparison, but Armando didn't wear tennis shoes. And I'm like, that just screams low-budget TNA to me. When I see this guy wearing this outfit, and he has tennis shoes on, I didn't like that. Maybe there's an explanation. I don't know. I want to keep that open as a possibility. But the other thing, he's the Jesus of wrestling. How far can you go with that? And again, you know, maybe we'll get some answers to it. I wasn't blown away by the idea of the actual gimmick because I don't really understand the gimmick itself, but I like the poise he showed. I like the way he delivered his promo. The moment wasn't too big for him, as you often hear people say in sports.
Yeah.
And so I like the way he stepped up and delivered that promo with confidence, and I also like the way they positioned him. Even if you're somebody out there going, oh, this is overhyped, I don't think he was that big of a free agent acquisition, it doesn't matter. They need to position him that way, and they should. And I think it could turn out to be a nice free agent acquisition for them.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, too, that it almost seemed like Chris Jericho stole the script the night before on Raw. But in a way, it drew some comparisons between them, too. When Jericho debuted on Raw, it was this really big deal. I'm here to save WWE. And Jericho's been doing kind of the nostalgia best of Jericho version of that. But Mike Bennett coming in, that was one of the criticisms I did have of the segment, is I'm not crazy about somebody coming in and not talking about their own personal goals in terms of winning matches and winning championships and being the best at what they do, and instead talking about saving the company. I'm not even crazy about Jericho doing it this time around. Mentioning TV ratings is one of my pet peeves. I don't think you should talk about TV ratings, house show attendance, or network subscriptions on television unless you're the announcer touting how hot the brand is. You know, you can say network subscriptions are up, where, you know, if they get to 2 million network subs as of WrestleMania, I think Michael Cole should tout that and say, we doubled our network subs in the last 3 months. You are missing out. You really need to get on board, because there millions of people have spoken and they're renewing. So that's something I don't like, part of any promo in any context. But it really was, like you said, the poise and not looking like the moment was too big for him that I thought worked.
Hopefully, I'm not going to get into spoilers, but something he talked about in his initial promo,
yeah,
I look back on now and go, how's that going to work? And I'll just leave it at that way.
All right, very good. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and go to area code 570. 570, please state your name and where you're calling from. Yeah, 570. We heard you go,
Hello. This is my favorite guy on Instagram.
All right. I guess baby took priority there. No problem. We understand. All right, let's go to 718 next. 718, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Romeo from New York City. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks, Romeo, for calling. What have you got for us?
Two questions. Well, first one really quickly. Do you think WWE is going to ban the Styles Clash for AJ?
Good question. Jason, do you think they will, and should they?
Yeah, I think they probably will. Yeah, I lean more to, well, I feel like they should, and that's coming from somebody who's praised the way New Japan handled it. Like, I may be opposed to the idea of the move being used, but if you're going to use it the way New Japan did and make it seem like it's the most dangerous thing in the world, There's just been too many guys who have suffered injuries from this thing, and and AJ's quick to point out that if you take it the right way, it's not a risky move at all. We've just seen too many accidents with this, and so I would hope that they step in. And I'm not even a big fan of it as a finisher. I just don't think it looks good. It's awkward when he puts it on. It doesn't look all that damaging when it's hit properly. Yeah. And so, yeah, please, by all means, get rid of that damn move.
Yeah, I mean, I saw AJ explain in an Indy locker room once to an opponent he had never worked before, a local Minnesota wrestler, how to do the move and, you know, stressing. You know, and I mean, I'm not quoting verbatim, but it's like, your instinct is to tuck your neck. You have to do the opposite or your neck will break. Well, he didn't really say it that way. But, you know, he's like, you got to keep your head back when I do the move. You can't tilt it forward. And obviously, that instinct is so difficult. And some, you know, obviously, it's been a problem. And I could see WWE saying, we just don't need this. You know, we don't need the risk. You're too. And here's the thing. AJ doesn't need the move. He's too good at too much to need that move with no history in WWE that gives it any extra credibility. It's just not worth doing. And so I think they'll say don't do it if they know the history of the move. And really, AJ's good enough, he doesn't need it. I mean, there's so many cool things he can do. Anyway, Romeo, that was your quick question. What's your next one?
As far as Nakamura goes, I'm really worried that WWE is going to ruin him. I don't know. I've never heard him speak English. I don't know if you guys have. How's his English? Do you think he needs a mouthpiece? And how quickly do you think his act gets over in front of the WWE universe type of audience?
Well, if Vince McMahon stays out of his way, he'll get over within 10 seconds, and that's without a microphone in his face. His English isn't great, but he can say a few words. Jason.
I've heard it more than that.
So you think that he can cut? Do you think he can cut a WWE up a W, I don't want to say WWE level, because what does that even mean? So if he's given scripted lines with English that he can speak, you think he can represent himself without a mouthpiece as a heel or a face at the level he needs?
See, we talked about this last week, and my understanding is he does speak fluent English, but that doesn't mean he can cut a good promo in English. I just don't know.
Okay.
But I do think that he is talented enough, because I watch him in New Japan, and I don't hear his promos, and if I've seen one, it was in Japanese, I'm sure. I think the guy's phenomenal. I mean, he just, it's like Asuka. You're not listening to her talk. She says very little in English, but you're wowed by her, and he will have that type of an effect if put in the right situation.
Yeah, the Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson badass is something that just doesn't get created, and you just have to be it. You have to feel it, and Nakamura's. But you know what, Romeo, you're right to be worried. I mean, I am too. I mean, you have Bruce Mitchell on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show this weekend, a VIP exclusive show that we do every weekend for a couple hours. Bruce, 25 years on staff, just tremendous, tremendous, tremendous knowledge base. And he was talking about Vince McMahon's history. It was a history lesson, a doctorate in Vince McMahon history when it comes to what does he do when he brings in stars who are established in other areas, going back even to the 1980s with Rick Steamboat or Jake Roberts and others, and really went through the mindset and the mentality of why a lot of guys lose some of that edge and some of what makes them who they are. And looking at some individual situations. So VIP members can look into that. If you're not a VIP member, you can get details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Jason, how worried are you that Nakamura will be seen as, when they look at him, they'll be like, well, that was cute what you did in New Japan, but this is what we have for you here.
No more worried than I was when Kevin Owens came in or when Neville came in, to give you the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I think anyone who comes to WWE, you're going to have some concern. I don't think they're going to send him out there doing a Kai and Tai gimmick. If that's what people are worried about,
no.
Just some stereotype nonsense, I don't think that's going to be it. I fear he falls victim to more of the 50-50 booking, you know, that type of thing. I think that's more of a valid concern than it is the stereotype stuff. So, I hope they present him like a star. And if they're not going to, I hope he spends his time in NXT where they will treat him like a star.
Yeah, yep. All right, Neil, or Romeo, excuse me, anything else?
As far as the Royal Rumble goes, do you see any NXT talent being called in? I remember Rusev debuting a couple years ago. He had a really good showing. I don't remember who was in it last year as far as NXT goes, but who would you call up from NXT this year to have a good showing on the Rumble? I'm thinking either Apollo Crews or Baron Corbin.
I think they're going to say Baron Corbin as kind of the, you know, pet, more of a pet project even than Apollo Crews. They're going to protect him and debut him under very set circumstances. I think Apollo Crews probably has the best chance to come in, have a good showing, maybe orient himself a little bit to the mainstream WWE audience. Although the thing is everybody who, I mean, just about everybody who watches a Rumble, percentage-wise, also has access to NXT. It doesn't mean, obviously, they're going to have, you know, a huge audience watching the Rumble relative to the weekly NXT shows, but it's not like some exclusive club who knows who Apollo Crews is. He could come out, Jason, and actually get a good response. I'm high on Apollo Crews and his upside. I don't think he's ready yet, but I would say the same about Roman Reigns. So, you know, you can only hold back so long. But, I mean, Apollo Crews is another guy who should be in the conversation of a Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan type, who I think is just that babyface potential near top or top of the card talent that WWE needs to protect and utilize well. I'm not in general in favor of putting a bunch of NXT guys in the Rumble and having them just, you know, get a couple spots and get eliminated, because I think it was Sami Zayn said, but I can't remember for sure, but somebody said, you know, they don't want to be on WrestleMania until they're in a meaningful match. You know, they don't want to just be right on it, just to be on it. So maybe the Rumble's an exception, but it has to be booked in the right way. I think Apollo Crews fits better in that way than Baron Corbin. The time to bring Baron Corbin up and debut him in the Rumble is if you're going to have him win it or almost win it. And I just don't think they're at that stage with him right now. Although if he does come up, it almost eliminates Roman Reigns turning heel, because I think the heel Baron Corbin is just almost a carbon copy of what I would see Roman Reigns' act being as a heel. Jason, run with any of that.
Yeah, I mean, somebody asked me in Q&A yesterday between Corbin and Crews, who I expected to come up first, and I think it is Corbin. But Royal Rumble could be an exception because Rusev just disappeared after that. You know, they may bring a guy in and not do much with him. And you're right, Crews does fit well. Even though when he first asked the question, I did have Corbin pop through my head, just a big guy, that kind of thing. Yeah. I hope it's neither. You know, I guess does Sami Zayn count, given that he worked a match against John Cena?
I mean, I guess. I mean, whether he counts or not, it's worth bringing up that might be the right time for him to make his return, put in a good showing, get a good pop, show fighting spirit, but, you know, likely ultimately not win. I you know, when I say maybe AJ Styles wins the Rumble, or maybe Daniel Bryan does, I don't think Apollo Crews or Sami Zayn are on that list. But boy, if you want to shoot somebody to the top, and if, let's say, they're just super high on Sami Zayn, you know, if he ends up just being this phenomenon, and you try to basically find a replacement Daniel Bryan to placate the fan base that misses that type of wrestler, you know, there's this real outside chance they could just shoot Sammy to the top, have him come back and win the damn thing. And then it's just like, well, is it going to be Roman Reigns or Lesnar who crushes him at Mania? And you kind of tell a larger version of the Kalisto Del Rio storyline with Sammy, and you can create that babyface star that they need. But that's just not WWE style, you know, to take a smaller than average wrestler and shoot him to the top like that, even though I think there's money in it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because typically when you think of Sammy, you think of that long journey to get to the championship. And yeah. So, I mean, that if we don't see that scenario that you mentioned, I think that's probably the role where he can have that nice showing in the Rumble, and then be hopefully it's a memorable elimination, and it's not just some throwaway moment like a Tommy was. And I think there's a good story that can be told with him in the Rumble if they choose to put him in there.
Jason, go ahead and take a moment to talk about your website and your membership and social media.
All new. Finally, everything is all new. The member site is new. The main page of ProWrestling.net is new. I tried to avoid talking about the new look of the website just because I wanted the member site to be done, but it is all done. Check it out at ProWrestling.net. If you have access to the member site, check that out too. The all-new layout at ProWrestling.net. Everything new, everything clean, except for Android, but that's coming soon. At ProWrestling.net today, on the main page right now, Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's WWE Raw show. All that ratings and viewership information we were talking about earlier is right right there for you. All the news of the day, including Nakamura being stripped of the IWGP Intercontinental Championship and a whole lot more. Don't forget to check out the new daily all-access audio show that we are doing. I've handled the last couple of days just kind of discussing what's going on, getting you ready for Raw, getting ready for tonight's TNA Impact and SmackDown taping. And also, if you just don't have time to read a long-form article like my WWE Raw hit list, I read that on Tuesday's all-access podcast. So if it's more convenient for you to listen to that, listen to it than it is to read it, check it out there, along with some bonus thoughts on WWE Raw. All of that information available, you can find it on the main page, but if you want to go directly to our daily all-access, visit blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. And on the member side of things, last night my WWE Raw audio review, I think it went about 45 minutes, and then also my nearly 1 hour Q&A audio show that is available exclusively for members on the all-new ad-free version of ProWrestling.net on the member side of things. Membership rates stay the same. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, find the sign-up area right there on the right side of your screen. Once you get in there, you will see three different pricing options, and the longer you commit, the more money you save. You want to try us out for 1 month, it's $7.50. You'll save some money if you take the 6 month option. If you want to save, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, the annual option. It whittles that per month average down to $5.50 a month. All the details, again, available at the newly remodeled ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions on this, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
Excellent. Let's get a couple more calls in on today's program and go next to area code 570. 570, please state your name and where you're calling from. Take two. 570. Live on the air. Maybe, Jason, maybe it is a baby calling us on speakerphone, and I just am not listening closely enough to the baby's question.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we try?
Yeah. Let me listen here. Can you repeat your question, baby? All right.
Whoa, what was that?
I'm not quite sure. We're moving on. 630, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is James from Chicago.
Hey, James, what have you got for us today?
I just want to get you guys' thoughts on what are you guys looking at for WrestleMania right now? It's really depressing seeing what's coming up for WrestleMania. Like, even the build-ups and the storylines, it's, right, like, really nothing to build on. I know the real build is going to be after the Rumble, but it's like usually we can see right after New Year's. We can see it. I don't see where they're going, and it doesn't help with the injuries. And I'll let you guys respond, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thanks, Jason. We essentially covered this earlier, Jason. I think that there's a pro and con about having a predictable lineup that you're looking forward to versus a predictable lineup that you're dreading, but the possibility of an unpredictable lineup that will turn out really good. I don't think anyone should look and go, well, I know I'm not going to like WrestleMania this year because I have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do and I don't like it. Because I think with John Cena's injury and not an obvious opponent for Undertaker at this point, there's still some mystery here. So I think, yeah, give WWE some space to tell the story that they want to tell at the Rumble. And let's see. We got Triple H out there. Will he or won't he wrestle at Mania? If he does, it's almost for sure against Roman Reigns. But perhaps if Daniel Bryan were to come back, they could finally do that. I don't know. I just think there's a possibility of a twist or turn here and there that I don't think there should be like this doomsday feeling. Let WWE tell their story. They have a history of coming through, and sometimes the lineup doesn't look good, and then it turns into a great show too. So... I'm not ready to look at this and dread it until I know what the lineup is, and if I hate it, then I'll say it. But it just let them tell their story. I think, you know, there's some compelling acts, some compelling wrestlers out there who haven't landed where they're going to land yet. So let's see it happen.
Yeah, I'm not dreading Mania right now. I'm very intrigued by the Rumble. Just from the standpoint of seeing it play out, I certainly fear that it's Triple H winning this thing. But it doesn't have to be. You know, as we talked about earlier, I guess if I have any fear right now about WrestleMania, it's just in a couple of places. I think they'll put together a good 1-2, maybe 3-match punch. But it's the rest of the show that I guess concerns me, just because they haven't done a good job with their mid-card. And so many of these guys mean so little right now. Is it going to mean something when Sheamus faces damn near anyone at WrestleMania if he's in a singles match? because it doesn't mean anything when he faces that person on Raw. You know, it's not like they've been keeping guys separate and building up to a payoff match or anything like that. So I think that's kind of the fear. They may have to pad it with another, you know, Money in the Bank type of match, just things like that. I fear for the undercard, and a little bit of fear right now for Undertaker's match. What it's going to be if John Cena is indeed out of WrestleMania, and it looks like he is. Who does Taker face if that was the match they had planned? Might turn out to be great. I just don't know who that person is. And so the Rumble is intriguing. Even if you fear the worst, let it play out and see what happens. And we might be in for a really good WrestleMania because of these injuries where they were forced to take some chances and shake some things up.
Any chance we see Nakamura against Undertaker, Jason?
You know, somebody brought that up yesterday, just the pageantry of it. I think it's a real long shot. I personally would enjoy it a lot. I don't know that there's enough time to establish Nakamura as the type of opponent you would expect to see Undertaker face at WrestleMania. I mean, the other part of it too, Wade, I got to think the Taker's going over if this turns out to be his last Mania. I just don't know if it is, obviously. And I'd hate to say, I mean, there's a way for Nakamura to lose with dignity and all that. I'd kind of like to see Taker and Nakamura kept apart. How about you?
Yeah, in my imagination, I can imagine WWE creating it's conceivable that a scenario could be created that would introduce Nakamura in the next 2 months, 2.5 months to seem like a worthwhile opponent for Undertaker. And I can imagine a finish either way that could work. Undertaker losing and Nakamura becoming a big star, or just Nakamura having a great match with Undertaker but losing, but the announcers framing it afterwards as, you know, a star-making match from a charismatic superstar, megastar in Japan coming over and wanting his chance in the spotlight and you know, finding a way to make it happen and then coming out and performing really well against Undertaker, even if he lost, and seeming like a big star in the process. I think there's a way for the announcers to frame the language where Nakamura could lose and still be good. So, I mean, I'm intrigued by it more than Braun Strowman or Kane. Kevin Owens against Taker, I would like to see. But I'm trying to think what's big enough for Nakamura, you know, and the pageantry and the charisma and the WWE treating him as a big star. If they treat him as a big star, then you have to have him have a big opponent.
Kevin Owens.
That's literally what I was about to say. I have pitched Kevin Owens. I don't know if we talked about that last week or it was on one of my Keller hotlines. But I do like Kevin Owens as a Nakamura opponent because then Owens can carry the weight of the mic work. Nakamura can come back with his English to a degree but not have to, you know, totally carry it. But the interaction between the two and Kevin Owens' reactions to Nakamura I think would be a blast. So those are kind of my two picks. I'd like Kevin Owens against Taker or against Nakamura. I'd like Nakamura against Kevin Owens or Undertaker. You know, so I'm interested where those three land. So like you, Jason, I'm not down on WrestleMania. Plus, I really like the women's situation too, you know, with Charlotte establishing herself really well. We'll probably talk more about that on the VIP After Show coming up in just a moment. I want to get one last call in, and then we'll wrap up the show. We've got Craig from Atlanta on hold. I do want to just let people know, if you're not a VIP member, it is a great, great, great time to go VIP right now. So many things that I can pitch that are reasons to go VIP. You can find out about so many of them at our sign-up page, which is pwtorch.com/goVIP. It's a redesigned sign-up page. It tells you in bullet points quickly what you get with a membership, 28 years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, an incredible, unmatched array of archived audio shows, going back to the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show hosted by John Arezzi, a friend of the livecast, a guest a few times over the last year or so. That show is available on a regular basis. The first time these episodes have ever been heard since I aired in New York in the late 80s through the mid-90s are heard by VIP members. And I'm a guest on the show frequently. Dave Meltzer is. Bruno Sammartino and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and Ric Flair and Jim Ross and Mick Foley, a young Mick Foley, Paul Heyman, a lot of just awesome vintage big name interviews and a live call-in format like this. It's fascinating listening to fans in the early 90s and how they looked at Undertaker's first Royal Rumble and how they reacted to what was going on with Hulk Hogan or the WCW company before Nitro started. It's just so fascinating. It's one of my favorite things is getting the cassette tapes out and transitioning transferring them to MP3 and listening to them myself for the first time. Other than my appearances on the show, I didn't hear them. And it's just so awesome. I'm so glad that John has given us exclusive online rights to air the show. Jim Valley, a guest co-host often here on the PW Torch Livecaster, guest host, fill-in host, and also co-host of the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil. They're reviewing right now the 2000 Royal Rumble for VIP members, 1 hour at a time with their Wayback Playback. Jim Valley hosted a radio show during the Attitude Era. And we have some of those coming up, including the next one that's going to go up this week is Bruce Mitchell's Year 2000 Year in Review on Jim Valley's Total Chaos radio show. So not only do we have 50 to 60 to 70 first-run audio shows covering today's scene that are VIP exclusive and ad-free, by the way. The live cast, this show goes up ad-free for VIP members on the VIP feed, available on iTunes and Downcast app and Beyond Pod and Dogcatcher and all the phone apps that you use. It goes up ad-free, so you don't hear these plugs and all the ads that get inserted. So that's a big benefit, plus all the exclusive shows. The Wade Keller Hotline, Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, The Fix with Todd Martin, the Sean Radican audio community shows, reviewing New Japan and ROH and Evolve and all those. Moonlighting with Greg Parks, covering TNA Impact and NXT and SmackDown and more. It is a huge array of audio shows in the Everyday Wade Keller Hotline. I cover the news, answer member questions, and on Tuesdays, or actually Monday nights, I should say, I review Raw in-depth. The Wade Keller Hotline comes with that. All available to download or stream on your smartphone device. We have a VIP ad-free website where you can access the shows and stream them, or like I said, sign up to the podcast. Just as you would any podcast, you just have to enter a username and password to get access to it. So much content, new audio and vintage audio, going back 10, 15, and 25 years, plus ad-free access to the Torch newsletter archives, ad-free access to our VIP website with all the content from our main website and our app that's available for free. All of that content is available ad-free when you're a VIP member, including our new mobile-friendly VIP website. You really can't know for sure until you try it, but the feedback from people who try it indicates to me if you do try it, you're going to love it. Check out sign-up details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Wrestling fans have been paying for our coverage for 28 years. You can find out why they continue to do so by signing up and going VIP. The sign-up form is now mobile-friendly also, so you can sign up in a minute or 90 seconds on your phone, and you're in. It's a month-to-month membership, so anytime you don't want to renew, just cancel, and no further obligation. We have monthly, three-month, and one-year subscriptions. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Craig from Atlanta, speaking of VIP, a VIP member himself. Craig, thanks for holding. What have you got for us today?
Absolutely. Hey, guys. Keeping up with the Royal Rumble talk, and if you guys mentioned this at all over the last couple weeks, I'm sorry, but what about The Rock coming in the Royal Rumble and setting up either him winning and setting up him versus possibly a heel Roman, or if not that, possibly Rock and Brock or Rock and Triple H? I mean, we know he's going to be at WrestleMania, and it's going to be history-making, so what are you guys thinking about that being set up at the Rumble?
Let's get this right. It's going to be electrifying.
There it is.
No, I think Rock should be in the equation. I mean, we made it through an hour, Jason, not talking about Rock when talking about WrestleMania, but he's going to be at WrestleMania one way or the other. We haven't talked about Sting in the Hall of Fame. We'll save that for the VIP after show, that announcement. But, yeah, Rock could be in this picture, and he is one of those opponents that can fit in to a lot of slots. He can be in the world title picture. I mean, it's unlikely Rock is going to face Kevin Owens, okay? I'll say that. But, I won't even rule that out. I mean, maybe Rock is secretly a huge fan of Kevin Owens, just like LeBron James was secretly a huge fan of Sting, and wants to work with him. And I wouldn't blame Rock. I think that'd be a great match and a great war of words, and it'd be super memorable, and it'd be an awesome way to give a boost to Kevin Owens. So, my vote for that. But if it's not that, I could see a dark horse of Rock against Shinsuke Nakamura. Rock's probably not going to want to work the strong style Nakamura match, but from a charisma and international megastar facing the megastar that Rock is internationally at the box office, that'd be fun. Okay, but having played those alternative dark horse scenarios out, much more likely Rock ends up in a match against Triple H or against Roman Reigns, maybe you could say possibly maybe Undertaker, if you're looking for kind of the replacement for John Cena, if the plan was Cena versus Undertaker at one point. There's another scenario Bruce Mitchell talked about in detail and made a case for in his column last week in the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter that VIP members have digital access to, and also in the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show this weekend, which is Rock teaming with Roman Reigns against possibly an odd couple tag team of Triple H and Brock Lesnar. I think a lot of places where Rock could fit in, Jason. I guess the first major question is, what are the odds that you think Rock wrestles versus just hosts or appears at ringside or something like that?
You know, it's so tough to say. I mean, honestly, I'm at like 50-50 on this, and it's not even trying to give you a cop-out. I just don't have a good feel for it. He didn't, you know, if he was not going to wrestle, I think he would say he's there to electrify. If he was going to wrestle, I think when he made the announcement, he would say he's there to electrify because they want to keep that a secret. And so if he does, if he is going to wrestle, then I definitely think it's possible we get Rock Brock without a title. And maybe that is why, you know, maybe that would help explain why they would go with Reigns and Triple H, if that's a direction. I mean, that to me just, it feels like a much bigger match than anything they have right now on the show outside of Undertaker's retirement is Rock Brock. And so I would understand that if that's a direction, if that's why they were taking the direction I kind of think they're going to. If it's not, I mean, yeah, he could work opposite Reigns. I think if it's not Rock Brock, though, I think it is Rock and Triple H somehow, some way, whether they get Stephanie in there involved. And I think Ronda Rousey is certainly a long shot at best, based on what she said. But keep in mind, I think she would also be saying that she can't do it, even if she could
right.
at this point. But I really don't think that's going to happen. But still, you know, I think if he's there that and he wrestles, that's huge. And that really does change the WrestleMania lineup projections.
We also haven't mentioned Chris Jericho's name. I want to save that for the VIP after show.
For good reason.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what he did last night on Raw and where he might fit in on the WrestleMania card. And so, yeah, let's save that for the after show. Table that along with Sting and some really good email questions, too. Again, the VIP after show, for people who don't know, because I get questions on this regularly enough, I should clarify more often. The VIP after show is recorded right after the live portion of the free live cast goes off the air. And so Jason and I continue the conversation. We make references to things we talked about, follow up on what was on today's show. If we forget something that we meant to bring up, we bring it up. But we also answer email questions that are sent in. And that becomes available for VIP members of PW Torch and also essentially simulcast or also produced or posted, I should say, by Jason over at his website, ProWrestling.net, the membership site. So the VIP after show recorded right afterwards, but it's not live. It's not available for free, but of course it is ad-free. So that's when we talk about that, that's what's happening. If you sign up for .net membership or PW Torch VIP, you have access to that part of the conversation. So we'll save it for that. I'm going to squeeze in one more call here. We got a 111 calling, could be international. Go ahead, if you heard a beep, state your name and where you're calling from. Yeah, if you heard us, go ahead and speak. You're on. If you're on hold, state your name. All right, I tried. I'll end on this note. If you shop at Amazon, don't type AMAZ. Stop right there and type PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. Click on the link, and you land at Amazon's homepage, just where you're headed anyway. But by taking a detour through our website, we get a commission on everything that you buy during that session. It's a very cool way. It just takes a couple extra seconds, if that, to do that. And we end up getting a kickback. And the nickels, dimes, quarters, and $2, $3, $4, $5 here and there add up. The more of you that do it. It's like throwing a few quarters or a few bucks in the tip jar for us at the coffee shop, except it's a way for you to not actually spend any money more than you would have otherwise. But for us talking about Amazon here on the show, we get a commission on those purchases. Please do think of us. Don't type AMAZ. Stop right there and type PWTORCH.com, PWTORCH.com/Amazon. There's also an Amazon link right under our spotlight box on the homepage at PWTORCH.com. So when you're visiting our website on a daily basis, and we hope that you are keeping up on all the news, James Caldwell just does a tremendous job with his news stories, perspective on TV ratings, history pieces, adding his point of view to the news, and the whole team and all the specialist columns, Michael Moore's collectible columns, and so much more. all available at pwtorch.com. But click those Amazon links when, or click one of the Amazon links on our website when you're thinking of buying stuff at Amazon. I just did yesterday. I caught myself. I almost went to Amazon.com and broke my own rule. And then I stopped and went to pwtorch.com and clicked on the Amazon link and had to get an HDMI cable and another converter for my iPad so I can watch some of these New Japan World Pro the New Japan shows, not just having to look on the laptop or iPad, but connect it with a longer HDMI cable to my TV. And so I made that purchase yesterday, and I think I got a commission on my own purchase, which is kind of cool. So anyway, thank you everybody who are doing that already. I appreciate it so much. It's a small thing, but the fact that so many of you are doing that, I really, really do appreciate. It's fun hitting refresh every morning on that Amazon page and seeing that a few of you have done that on a daily basis. So thank you for that. And visit us at pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com. Follow me on Twitter. I don't say this enough. At the Wade Keller, TheWadeKeller. You can follow me on Twitter there. You can follow our brand at PW Torch and at MMA Torch. Jason, final words from you before we go to the after show.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet if you get a chance. And don't forget that when you're done with this show, check out our new daily audio podcast. It is available at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingNET, or just visit the main page. You should have no trouble finding it at the newly redesigned ProWrestling.net.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Keep spreading the word about the show. We are on pace this month for our best month ever, which would be last month's best month ever. We really thank everybody for your support, for spreading the word and continuing to listen to us. And on that note, Wade Keller, until tomorrow, where Pat McNeil takes over the hosting chair. Wade Keller, on behalf of Jason Powell, signing off for today.